back to the Are You the One Wrap Up podcast. This is episode 2. I'm Brian Cullen. Here with me is my co-host, Ally Lesher. Ally, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Brian.
Good. You know, I'm doing well, too. I thought this was a pretty solid episode. I wasn't as into it, I don't think, as a premiere, but I think it was still pretty solid. What do you think?
I loved this episode. I came off this episode thinking that we were in a better position this week. We all, as a Are You the One community, we're in a better position this week, entertainment-wise, than we were at this stage in the game last season.
I can see that. Yeah, that's pretty fair. I think it also helps that we kind of have an idea of where the show is going, as opposed to when we first watched it last year. So I think we're kind of like, I mean, we'll talk about it throughout this episode, but we're seeing a lot of the same beats this time around, and we kind of have an idea of how this will play out, and it played out very well last year, so I have a feeling it's going to play out pretty excitingly and entertaining again this year.
That's true. It may just be, like, my own recency bias, but I feel like maybe it seems like relationships are forming more quickly with way less alcohol this season, so hopefully the alcohol will pick up. And the relationships will fall apart.
Yeah, there's not, outside of like the one really scene, there's not a lot of, there's a lot of partying going on. Or maybe maybe they're just not showing it. I don't know.
There's too much genuine love in the air.
Yeah.
To waste the time on partying.
That's why I'm at the challenge house.
Well, actually, before we jump in / jumping in, so basically they return from the matchup ceremony and they go into the house. I was, like, struck by how awesome this house seems. And I know, like, the magic of television can make certain things seem bigger or more awesome than they really are. Which houses do you think are nicer? The challenge houses, the Are You the One houses, or the real world houses?
Real world house, definitely third on the list. Because it fits the least amount of people. Usually it's only 7 people or 8 people at a time. As not like Explosion when there was double the people, but usually it's only 7 people. So usually I would say that is definitely third. And I'm going to say Are You the One's the best, maybe. Because I think, as look with the challenge, there's more to do. I think, you know, they're the full competition and stuff like that. So I think Are You the One probably wants to have the better house, and I think they do have the better house.
You're not considering niceness per capita?
I am not considering it per capita. But this is filmed in Puerto Rico, right? This is where the season is?
This season, yeah, I think so. Okay. San Juan, Puerto Rico?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this house does seem pretty nice. Is there like a tour? Sometimes they do like a tour of the houses online. Do they have that for the season?
If there is, I was not.
So I haven't seen something like that. But yeah, I agree. Seems like a great place to spend a couple months.
Yeah, no, I was jealous. I saw that whatever scene they showed them walking in, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so even before, move in. Oh, absolutely. But so even before going into this episode, just a couple of things from last week I wanted to clear up. So I was wrong on both the things we disagreed upon, so that was fun. But
from the corrections department.
Yeah, from the corrections department. Brandon does not, in fact, have a tattoo that says Perfect Match. And I was, as advertised, a complete idiot on that. And it turns out the after shows are live. So double down on idiot. And I hit blackjack. So good job by me.
I just want to point out that Brandon himself had to clarify that joke for you. It wasn't enough that I pointed it out.
Yeah, the entire Twitterverse pointed out how big of an idiot I was. But I'm going to say this. We gave a shout out to Plainview Seal, my mom, last week. She was also on board with me. She thought it was a real tattoo. So I'm going to blame it on the gene pool I got from her.
Oh man, that will go down as one of my favorite classic our podcast moments.
So I don't think there's any better transition than that. So they come back after the matchup ceremony, only getting 2, and trying to sort through who they think it is. Their leading contender, I believe, was Curtis and Brianna. I think that's where we stood last week too, right?
Yeah, I think we both agreed on that. That's fine with me. I love Curtis and Brianna, and we'll get more into that. But this was there were so many, I guess as a whole, this episode wasn't like my favorite, but there were so many little moments that I found hilarious in this. And one of them is like all the girls are changing. I don't know what exactly they're doing, going over who they think are matches. And Christina's like, do you think me and Brandon are a match? And Brianna's just like, I don't effing know.
She should have been holding something in her hand, like you just like toss it in the air and walk out. But like, I have no idea.
It's just like they're trying to be nice by saying they don't know. Like everyone's saying Curtis and Brandon are definitely a match. Do you think we're a match? I don't know.
The truth is, no one knows. No, I mean, they think that. That's why we'll talk about this even later on. But that's why I felt like Brianna had like the best head on her shoulders saying things like, you know, I think we're a match, but until we get into the truth booth, I really don't know, as opposed to Pratt and Paris, who are basically planning their wedding. So that's why it's like tough to say, like, you're a match, you know, you guys are a match, when you really can't know.
Well, that's the best, is that Brittany from season one tweeted, if I had a dollar for every time I said he's my match, I'd be a millionaire. And that just goes to show, like, the frames of mind where if you take it slow, you stay optimistic but not set on it, you probably do better than those who are, oh my god, I'm 100% sure he's my match, like the Paris, the Jesses of this season.
And even just think back to last year, I don't think Ethan and Amber, I mean, I know they clicked right away, but I don't think they were fully into it for at least a couple weeks, right? I'm trying to recall.
Yeah, no, because Ethan cut Amber loose to give her space, and Amber I don't know, I was going to say barked up the Adam tree, but that can't be a good thing to say. Yeah, no, they were both doing their own thing with some other people for a little bit. So, no, that was definitely a slow burn.
Yeah, and that was the one that ended in engagement. So follow the Amber Ethan model, not the Shanley Christie model. So.
Unless you don't want a child, but anyway.
So we actually, so then we got our first Shelby sighting of the season. That was nice to see with her and Siebes. Kind of hitting it off, kind of maybe more one-sided, but seemed
was
like
it nice to see?
I mean, it's nice to see at least them getting some airtime. It wasn't nice to see Siebes acting like that. This is a very rough episode for Siebes.
Their interaction as we go along, and maybe we could just break it down now, but yeah. Their interaction made me long for the first episode where we didn't see them on screen at all. And not because I don't like either one of them separately, but just, oh, I do not like what they become together. And not even just Siebes. But do you want to break this down?
Mostly Siebes,
but anyway.
I mean, they're basically bonding over the fact that they're both attracted to and attract douches and assholes and jerks. And they felt that if they're together, then all that will go away. But, I mean, that's not exactly the best of foundations to start a relationship on.
I mean, and then it's... I just think that from what we could see, and this could be the editing, Siebes is coming in way too hot, but Shelby isn't, she's not saying no. Like, she's doing certain things to support it. And then at the same time, she's not reciprocating in ways where she's just saying, yeah, and he should maybe get the hint from that. Like, when somebody says, you're everything I requested in the document, in the papers, and she says, I think you're thinking too hard, like, that's probably a bad sign. But she's also, like, sneaking around. She's not exactly coming out straightforward. She says later that he's the person she likes the most, so...
Yeah.
Mixed messages.
Because it's like an interesting environment, because if they were just in the real world, not like the show, the real world, the actual real world, and they were trying to strike up a conversation and Siebes was acting like this, I think Shelby would just walk away and that would be the end of their dynamic. But because they know that one of these people is their perfect match, if one person thinks that you are theirs, usually you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and not be an asshole to them right away, because what if they actually are their perfect match and you brush them off and you don't even give them a chance, and then you don't like them. So it's kind of, you kind of have to play it off as if you're kind of into them, even if you're not, just for the sake of argument that maybe they actually are your perfect match.
That's fair. Plus you have to live with them. So even if you don't like them, like, they're your roommate. But no, I mean, we'll get to the matchup ceremony later, but she played me.
Oh,
that's all I gotta say. I got played.
Absolutely. Yeah. They got blindsided, to take a little Survivor term, but that's much later on. So the next we have Leighton and Jenny rekindling their things after the matchup ceremony when he picked her. So they have their first kiss, they're comfortable together, and it seems like they're hitting it off pretty well, right?
See, this was another one of my favorite moments where, like, Leighton kisses Jenny, Jenny resists, it's a short kiss, and Leighton just goes, don't short me.
See, my funnier moment happened the scene right after when he's in the confessional, and he was looking, like, down on the floor when he was talking, and I don't think he, like, knows how to use the camera properly. Like, if everyone else, they're looking, like, either into the camera or right into the screen, so it's like you're talking to the audience. With him, he's literally looking down, like, at his feet. So, Leighton, get on your confessional game. It's a little weird.
I think I'm going to have to rewatch the show a third time with no note-taking.
Just don't even watch the episode. Just watch Leighton's confessionals.
But I don't know why I'm starting to think that Jenny and Leighton might not be a match. And it kills me because I love them, like, the way they look together, they look so cute, like a little country couple.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough to tell with any of these people because we just don't know enough about them, and it's all just like editing to show it as who they are. Because I don't know, maybe they are trying to hit it off with other people and we just don't see it yet, and they're just trying to play this out as a narrative so when they, because maybe they'll go to the truth booth next week and they need that story to tell. But it's, I mean, I definitely think Leighton and Jenny are a better match than Leighton and Jess.
No, I'll agree there. I'm not saying that Jenny and Leighton are not a match in favor of him and Jess, but I just think Jenny showed her hand a little bit last episode, and now she's like really showing her crazy cards this episode. And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I think they would be a great match based on nothing, but I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Yeah. They're definitely not high up on my potential match power rankings. So, definitely not high up in my power rankings are Brandon and Christina, because we get to see them in the having another interaction in the pool. And again, this is my own weird psychosis, but why were they sitting so far apart in the pool? They had the entire pool to themselves, and they're literally sitting on opposite sides. But that's neither here nor there. That's just my weird mind.
Because they're playing games. They're flirting, man.
I guess I never properly flirted in a pool then.
My favorite, the line we've been waiting for, he's the yin to my yang. Yep. Making the preview research worth it.
all those hours, all for that one moment. It's all worth it.
They're also making interesting use of inner tubes.
A lot of tubage. Oh my god, there's so many bad ways this can go that this can become an R-rated podcast, so we should try to segue away.
Well, one thing I think is interesting, and definitely not R-rated, totally G, is that Christina, I think there's like finally a return to normalcy this episode from the craziness of like the strategy to a certain extent with Pratt and Paris to now like Christina's like, I think you're my match, so partner with me for a challenge and we'll get to go on an awesome date. Mm-hmm. Like, she clearly wants to spend time with him. I think that's how the show is meant to be, where you partner with someone or you pick someone you want to spend more time with. And if that leads to the truth booth and you find out you're a match, then that's the objective.
Yeah. And this was a point I meant to bring up last week, but I forgot. You know, this is the way this show works. It's really like the reverse of every reality competition show, because normally, like with Survivor or Big Brother, the better you do in the show, the longer you're going to be on the show. Eventually, if you win, you're going to be there all the way. But with this show, if you're good at this show and you find your match immediately, you're gone immediately. So it's a very weird concept of you wanting to find your perfect match, but also wanting to enjoy the intricacies of being on a reality show and in a house full of people and partying and all that. So it's just a weird balancing act.
No, that is very interesting, because it's not even, they try to make it like this show is like for love or for money, but it's really love and money.
Yeah, or
potentially
nothing.
Or nothing, or really love or and money, or potentially fame from being on the show, if that's what you think this will
mild fame
get you to.
Very little fame.
You know, optimism.
There you go.
Let's see the porcelain teacup half full.
Well played. So then I
jumped ahead a little bit.
Just to polish off the Brandon and Christina scene. Now, we got confirmation about Pratt and Paris sleeping together. Do you think that Brandon and Christina slept together?
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring this up because I was like, how, like, into their... Like,
I kind of need to for my fantasy league because points was...
What I wasn't going to bring up is, like, there was a definite difference in tone of them together in the Boom Boom Room than other couples we've seen in past seasons and this season.
Can we please not enforce the Boom Boom Room name on this podcast? It is by far the stupidest name of anything on any show. I cannot stand the name Boom Boom Room. Do you like that name?
Deal with it.
Oh god.
When Kayla was talking about going to the Boom Boom Room in her like short, weird, so long sleeve blue robe, like that was Are You the One history.
I just could never take any conversation seriously that involves the words Boom Boom Room.
You're not supposed to take it seriously.
I guess so. Ugh.
But back into Brandon seemed to be taking it very seriously. So I think that like the TV show didn't exploit whether or not they boomed in the Boom Boom Room, because like that was like a real genuine connection, as opposed to like Anthony and Jess, they like getting at it. For your fans, I'll say they boomed in the boom boom room.
All right, we'll see. I still need to review what it is decided.
It is decided.
I really hope there's anyone who watches the league. Otherwise, we sound like a couple of idiots. Not that it would be any shocker to anyone else. Yeah. So then we get the little pool party type scene with Nate and Shelby continuing. Well, Nate pursuing Shelby continuing. So, and then we get the first glimpse of Dario, who was my favorite person this entire episode. So shout out to Dario.
Dario is dangerous in this episode. He scares me, but I think he's a great character, and we'll get more into that. But this Dario brought me back to Urban Dictionary, which I don't remember the last time I visited on purpose, like not even Google, like www.urbandictionary.com.
He says
Nate Dogg is cuffing it. Were you aware of what cuffing it was?
I just assumed it meant like going after a girl hard. I didn't.
Okay. Well, can I have an Urban Dictionary definition, please?
Fire away, Trebek.
It's so obvious now. So the number one, obviously there were some other definitions, but the number one definition was when a guy doesn't let his girlfriend have any guy friends. And then it took me to cuff, which obviously like handcuffs is that just like sense. Someone being overprotective and basically being Nate.
that term actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm going to borrow that, use it in my daily life.
Cuffing.
Blank dog is cuffing it. Just insert name here.
Cuffing. Been adopted by the RHOP community.
I don't know if we can speak for them, but definitely me.
Well, all right, for the Are You the One community.
No, but he was cuffing it. So fair.
Yeah, and then, you know, Dario's playing it cool. He's waiting in the wings, waiting for Nate to be even more annoying, and then he was going to swoop in.
What do you think about these techniques? Because, I don't know, I think you're sharing a house with 10 dudes, 9 other guys. It's a small enough community. The history, I think, of Are You the One, or like the setup at least this season, is they're all working as a team. They're all trying to be friendly. It's awkward when you hook up with the same person, but like you try to keep, like Wes and Ryan even kept it, I think, kind of, you know, civil, yeah, nice towards each other, friendly. I don't know that I like that Dario like did these behind the back moves and didn't approach Siebes and say, hey, I'm interested in her. It's early. What do you think?
I think it would only be shady if he was just trying to sleep with her and didn't think there was any connection. If he's just trying to be like Anthony or whatever and just trying to sleep with her and that'd be that, then yes, I think it's a little wrong. But I mean, if he thinks she's his perfect match, then, you know, what's the difference what Nate thinks? I mean, they're not going to be together anyway, so I don't think it's that much of a big deal.
Well, I mean, he's really dogging him on in the confessional and not to his face. And then he's also saying that to her and is only really saying she's the best looking girl in the house.
Yeah,
he doesn't really have anything to go on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If he does just going based on pure looks and just wants to sleep with her and that's it, then yeah, I mean, it's probably not the best thing to do. We're going to have to live with these people for another 2 months. But otherwise, I mean, I think his intentions are a little better than that. I think they might have just been twisted to, like, make it look like he's just trying to play her. But I kind of think he's into her.
Now, where would they sleep together?
In the private room.
That's much worse. Anyway, so that brings us to the challenge. And I know you don't pay much attention to the challenges, but these are the setups. This setup of the challenge is the one I like the best in Are You the One, where either only one gender competes or they both compete and multiple people can win. And then they select their date. So it's an individual competition. In this case, it was the guys competing to match quotes that girls said to the girl who said it. And then the top three guys can pick their dates.
Yeah, totally agree. In fact, I don't think they should do paired challenges ever. I think they should just be switching off of like a girl day and a guy day. Because you should have to like picking your date just adds like another cool element to it.
So I also think it keeps it from being able to just like, oh, we scatter and we just find our partner right there, and it makes it like for more meaningful truth booth options. Mm-hmm. Like in this case, I think we had 2 out of 3 would have been great truth booth options. And then I still can't figure out what were they planning to do if Brianna didn't break her nose, because that ice block challenge of the first one definitely was a partner challenge.
Yeah, I don't know. My guess is they would have done something like Ryan would have said, everyone pair up, and whoever was just left out just wouldn't compete and just wouldn't be up for a truth booth. Would be my guess. And I'm going to guess how, if they ever do another, I assume they'll do another pair challenge, and that'll be my guess is how they'll do it. He'll say, all right, everyone grab a partner, and then whichever girl is left out just doesn't compete.
Unless we're the 10 guys only going to do the ice block, and it was the guys get to dictate every single thing this season.
No, I don't think so, but I mean, it's possible.
Mostly a joke, but who knows? Who knows?
But I totally agree. This was a much more entertaining challenge just from the results it produced, and you know, even just the challenge itself. I found it much more entertaining than people melting ice, personally.
Did you learn anything interesting about the girls from their quotes?
What was your favorite quote of the only, I think, seven, by the way? They didn't give us every girl's quote, which I am very upset about.
And I only wrote down five, so.
Well, I wrote them all down because I'm much more prepared than you.
I wrote down John Jacobs' entire roast that was shown.
Hey, that's preseason. This is the regular season.
Preseason. I liked Brianna's. I thought it was ridiculous. Sometimes when I'm having sex, I think about what I want to eat after. Like, I just maybe just like Brianna, so that's why I thought that was funny. What about you?
For me, the far and away number one answer is, I know it's weird, but a good parallel Parker really turns me on.
That was on my number one for least favorites.
I have no idea how that is possibly a turn on or a turn off or anything. How is someone parallel parking in any way a sexual act?
I don't think it needs to be a sexual act.
It's just so nonsensical of life that it shouldn't have any effect on a human. Like, there should be no reaction to someone parallel parking efficiently. Jasmine.
Someone once told me to pick my battles. They don't think this is the time.
I don't know. That was just the most baffling of all the quotes. So,
Jasmine, if you're out there, explain this to Brian.
I need some understanding of how. Just how? That's my question. And no words. Just how?
Simple. Very simple. You don't ask for much. Just how?
I'm a simple man. I'm a simple man.
So the winners were Curtis, who picks Brianna, Alex, who picks Jasmine, and Brandon, who picks Christina. What do you think of these choices? Mostly, what do you think of Alex picking Jasmine?
Well, I mean, it produced the most awkward date in history, so that was good. But even just before that, just not even my favorite quote, just the favorite moment of just the challenge of itself was when Alex read the quote about someone farts and their family farts and it smells funny, and he immediately jumped to Ellie thinking that was her. And I'm thinking back in my head, that was my immediate thought too. And then it made me think of what I actually think of Ellie.
I think all it shows is that you think that Ellie's not afraid of being judged and to speak her mind.
I think it's great. It's just amazing that I also thought immediately, wow, that's definitely Ellie.
But I loved whoever answered their question. I don't know if it was Ashley who responded to that one or Jenny or someone raised their hand and was like, I'll own it. Like, you have to own it. Yeah. There's an option. No one's going to praise you for owning it.
And on this week's edition of Ryan's commentary, there was nothing better than him vigorously announcing, and oh my god, Tyler has his clue and he's reading it. I mean, like, what? There's nothing to announce for this challenge. You dig, you pull out a clue, you stick it through a wall. Like, this is not game seven of a World Series. You relax.
I think Ryan just wants to compete on the show, wants to be a contestant, and his minor moments that he actually has to host, he's just trying to get involved as much as possible.
And the most glaring take of him talking after was when they got to the last question, and it was between Brandon, I don't remember whoever it was. It was Brandon and Tyler, maybe, I don't know. And it was just so clear how different his voice was when he said Brandon and Tyler competing for the third spot. Step up the production a little bit, MTV, just a little.
Well, then afterwards, Ryan again emphasizes that Christina's screwing everything up for everyone.
I think Christina's the 11th girl. I haven't gotten much notice about that, but that's my hunch about this season.
I think Ryan gets a bonus every time he makes Christina feel like she was put there just to screw with everyone.
I wouldn't rule it out as a possibility.
So, but
going back to your original question before I went on.
Oh, yes.
It was the best two of the three choices that they could have had going into this week's Truth Booth, probably. Outside of Pratt and Paris, I mean, these would be two of the top three that you would want potential Truth Booth options.
I've always been surprised how people don't throw challenges more often in the show, but I guess we'll get more into that when people have questions about strategy and as the show goes on. But yeah, I was just thinking that, like, if they had thrown the challenge, like, they couldn't have gotten a better result.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this whole Christina being eligible for the Truth Booth brings up, like, a new strategic element that everyone's all in a huff about. And it's either that you put her in because then you find out more information, potentially get two girls matched with just one Truth Booth, and you get closer to the money. The other school of thought is you don't put her in, and then if you're her other girl, you get to stay in the house as long as possible.
Right. Now, the guys should 100% be trying to throw her in every time, and the girls, outside of unless you think that you have your perfect match, should be trying to stop her from going in every time. I mean, logically, that's what it is, right?
I guess, but it's just everyone kept repeating, like, you know, oh, to not go home with love or with money would be devastating. Like, you know, I don't want to go home with nothing. Like, you're just delaying the inevitable. And I understand that you want to at least stay in the house if you can't leave with love or money. But someone is not leaving with love and someone or money. Like,
right.
Everyone may not leave with love and or money. But one girl who's matched, either Christina or the other girl, is going home regardless of when it happens. And so just the conversation about that, like, I wish they were able to be more open to the camera and say, like, at least I want to stay on the show.
Yeah, because the thing is, you can't just, like, keep Christina out of the Truth Booth just like herself, because she's obviously going to be with someone. And if she was with – if her and Brandon were, in fact, a perfect match, whoever Brandon's other match was never stood a chance of – finding love with him anyway, because he was going to be in love with Christina the whole time. So what, wouldn't you rather know? Like, that's also the part of it too, that you can't just say, all right, we're gonna throw Christina in and then disregard the fact that she's into a guy and the guy's in — that sounds really bad — that a girl that she likes a guy and the guy likes her too. So it's like Tyler was pretty much the most vocal about it, about wanting to keep Christina out, and obviously that didn't work out for her.
Well, I'm starting to think that because of the editing, that Tyler may be her partner, because it's constantly showing her react. And I don't know if that's just because she's the most vocal because she doesn't have anyone, so she's very insecure, or if they're only showing clips of her complaining about Christina and strategizing against Christina and rolling her eyes when Christina says anything. But I could potentially see them as both being paired with the same person.
It's funny because I thought that too, but then I thought the Tyler one was a little too glaring. And for me, the more subtle one that I've been hearing about, like, oh no, being like the perfect match and having to go home would suck, is Jenny. So my eye on the double match right now is with Christina and Jenny, so that she's number one on my double match power rankings.
I could understand Jenny, but I think that they did a poor job matching, if that's the case, because I think Jenny is way more uptight than Christina, and not even in a bad way. Like, I think Jenny is just a more what we'd see is like a serious, traumatic person than Christina. But I, you know, it wouldn't shock me. I see what you're saying.
But
what do you think, since Christina and Brandon got no match, I'm so sorry. And I'm sorry to, like, you know, it sucks. I thought they were a cute couple, and we'll see what happens. But I think that this could potentially be the best thing for whoever Christina's other pair is, because Christina being, I mean, if it's anything like Shanley, you know, Shanley didn't find her confirmed match, Adam, for a while down the road. Mm-hmm. And this could potentially lead to Christina going out, which I didn't really expect. What do you think?
It'll just also just keep so much more time available for them to find the perfect match. Like, if they waited till, I don't know, episode 6 to finally throw Christina and Brandon in, by the time that happens and you discover you're not a perfect match, you're not really going to get that strong connection with anyone else. Even if you discover that whoever your perfect match is, you're not going to have that strong bond that you have here 2 weeks in. Like, it's bad, but if you find someone else you connect with, you can still develop that strong bond and potentially find love through all this. So this was the absolute perfect decision to throw Christina and Brandon in this early on.
So really quick, just on that subject, and then I know there's so much more to talk about later about Christina and Brandon, but Kristen Kristen Narr on Facebook asked, which do you, well, we already talked about what we think will happen, but which do you want to happen? Which will make better TV? Christina finding her match and the other girl getting kicked out, or vice versa?
I think I mentioned this, I think, last week. For me, I don't want the double match to be revealed until the end, because I want that moment of all 21 people, and then 20 people matched up, and one person off to the side rooting against the entire group to win $1 million. I think that, personally, would be the best moment of them all, rather than one of the girls being sent home.
I think, you know, whenever it happens, and I hope it gets delayed, because, I mean, that's like a major plot point, is just planning around the 11th girl. And if that was gone, then, you know, we'd just be back to normal. But I do ultimately hope that Christina stays. Like, say Brandon and Christina keep their connection and still try to find their match just for the game, sort of like Christy and Chanley said they were doing. Christina stays, like, on a fluke, gets matched in a truth booth with her perfect match, and then a girl has to go home when Christina already found love and is also going to get money. Like, I just think that's awesome.
So you just want the double cruel.
Yeah, well, I mean, how else can this play out in a good way? Like, if Christina goes out and she and her and Brandon keep up their relationship, then she'll make some sort of, like, you know, I'm a martyr for the house. Like, I'm glad you also found love. Like, Brandon, bring the money home, babe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it, unless their relationship completely implodes, and we'll talk about that later, I think that the only satisfying ending would be someone very, very upset and Christina being like, oops, I get both. Oops.
Oops. Oops. Saying it like a little 5-year-old girl. Oops, sorry.
Plus, I like her, so whatever.
I mean, Christina's probably my favorite girl now, so obviously I'd rather her stay than any of the other girls. All right.
So we get to, and we're going a little out of order, but we're staying on task.
That's all right, yeah. We can maintain the structure here.
This kind of becomes like the section of rejections where we get to this party, right? Am I passing too much?
I think that's right. Yeah, because so, they were talking down, Christina saying, you know, you're not going to be voted in. And then Ellie jumps in saying, all right, enough of this. Let's twerk.
Yeah.
Oh, Ellie.
Pratt makes the most cliched toast, which is like, to good friends and like stuff when I remember.
He's trying to be the Johnny Bananas of this house, because Bananas is always the one who toasts to the house in the challenge. And now this guy, Pratt, don't jump on Banana's toes. If you go into a challenge and you lay out of the toast, things are not going to end well for you. So,
speaking of Bananas, I think Curtis or Nathan, I think it was Curtis. Oh, Curtis tweeted like something loving to Brianna about like being strong and wrote that she earned her stripes. Oh, and we'll get to that later. But I was just like, oh, Bananas in the house.
So we went to the party. This was Curtis and Brianna's biggest moment together to date when they shared their first kiss. And I'd be shocked if they're not a perfect match.
If they're not a match, like, I actually have faith in them lasting outside of the house, even if they're not a match.
Yeah. They're you could just like feel the chemistry from them as opposed to the other couples. Yeah. I'm deep. I can feel this stuff on a 42-minute television show.
It's maybe you're the 11th girl with Brianna and Curtis.
Hey now. All right. And then we get to your rejection. The first one is Jess.
Oh, my heart goes out to Jess. I don't know why I can't not like this girl. Like, I'm sure she's getting a lot of shit or whatever, but she is looking up at Layton and she's like, you can kiss me. And Layton just goes, no.
No.
And he's saying, I have something. Yeah, exactly. He's saying, survey says, no, but he's like, I have something I need to figure out first. And then he keeps again saying like, Jess is attractive and sexy, but Jenny's someone I could be with. And my heart goes out to Jess. Like, I don't know who decided Jess isn't like dating material. Maybe because she keeps trying to sleep with everyone, but
maybe because she didn't make the merch.
I just think she's Britney 2.0, but, and she's not yet being just as, I mean, Brittany at least got attention from Adam when she went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jess is acting just out of pure instinct, but I think I like her because she just has no shame. Like, she does these confessionals where she's like, I just wanted to sleep with him and he didn't want to sleep with me. He rejected me. Like,
yeah. No, I like Jess. You know, in our preseason talk, I really did not think I was going to like her at all. There was just something about her I didn't think I would like, but I've done not a complete 180, maybe like a 120 on her. but she's just like a very just like real and just like doesn't almost like Ellie, but like without the crazy accent about just not giving a crap about anything and just doing whatever he wants and saying whatever she wants. And it just goes to show, like, last week she sleeps with Anthony, is crying the next day saying, I gotta stop doing this, I gotta stop doing this. And then the next episode she tries to sleep with Layton. So
I think
this is why I love reality TV.
I think Ellie is like a little bit more, like, Ellie is kind of the voice of reason. Which I'm shocked I'm saying. But Ellie shows up to comfort people, to give advice. Like, I think Jess is too up and down with herself to be able to, like, have a real awareness of what's going on. Like, I think she's just acting on impulse. And something we both said in the preview, which is she kind of has crazy eyes. And they don't look as crazy on TV. But there's definitely the craziness in her eyes, which we're seeing, is offset by just her ability to laugh at herself, which I think saves her.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that. And then we get the creepy hit on of the night with Anthony and Jenny.
Whoa, okay. This is where the crazy is coming out, the jealousy is coming out. I sniffed this out the last episode, and I watched it blow up on my screen last night, and I'm loving it.
So, yeah, Jenny, so, yeah, go.
No, go. You go ahead. I want to hear it again.
So, in a very... very backhanded compliment, I think it is. Anthony tells Jenny, you know, when I look at you, I don't think about wanting to hook up with you at all. I just think you're very pretty. Which is a really slime ball like compliment, right?
First of all, you skipped the most important part, which is Jenny initiates this on Anthony. Jenny does a double point finger to her eyes, I'm watching you, points out, and says, like, Jenny, she says that Layton and Jess are fooling around, and so she's going to turn her attention to Anthony, which is crazy, because that's not at all what's happening.
But it's also
come back to reality.
It's also pretty typical of what would happen in a real-life situation, right?
Sure, but it's just like what we were talking about yesterday. Like, Jenny has all of these jealousy things that she's acting on and making these decisions based on jealousy over Jess that have zero validity, like literally zero.
No, absolutely. And Anthony continues his quest to try to be the next Scally.
So I totally misunderstood then what Anthony said. I thought that Anthony said, I just want to hook up with Jess and I haven't even thought of hooking up with you, which translated through a crazy girl's ear and just any girl's ear who's like interested in this guy is like, I just want to hook up with her. Like, she's just someone to hook up with. Like, you're someone that I haven't thought about doing that with. Like, I want to get to know. Like, I haven't even... I mean, she's extrapolating here, but that's what she's hearing.
I think that's true because that's what she wants to hear, but I don't think that's at all what Anthony's intentions are. I think he sees her and knows this is what she wants to hear, and this is why he's telling her that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he says, you have the potential to change who I am, which translation is, I'm currently a bad person.
And will remain a bad person because I'm 22 years old.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible and hard to watch. And maybe I think that's why that Jenny's not Layton's match is just because I like Layton so much and Jenny's being so crazy and it's like under the radar crazy. So like not everyone's blowing up about it. And
yeah,
I'm upset.
There's definitely a storm. There's a storm coming between that trio that probably hit in about, I'm going to guess, say 2 episodes is when that's really going to blow up.
Can I start calling you the weatherman?
Feel free.
There's a storm coming. Weatherman's route.
And then the third rejection is Miss Tyler with Alex.
Womp womp.
Poor girl.
So many League references. No, so Tyler just like hops up on, this is Guise Tyler, because honestly Guise I was looking Tyler at my notes and saw Tyler and couldn't think of who it was for a second, so wrote Guise in parentheses. Jumps up next to Alex and is like, so everyone's paired up and I think you're my match, why aren't you into me? And then basically he's explaining it and she's like, I think that's bullshit.
And I think Alex explained it perfectly. Tyler looks like someone who would be attractive and then she starts talking and you realize she's not. And that's exactly how I feel.
I think we're going to get like a nice little turnaround story potentially from Tyler, because Tyler walked in thinking she was super hot and she's very pretty. Like, I mean, I said that her picture was the best one of the bunch. Uh-huh. She walks in, she doesn't get picked, she doesn't get attention, she doesn't make connections. The guy she's into, she's just the one person I want, doesn't want me, and she's not used to it. She, apparently, she's in college, she doesn't have trouble. And this is like a life lesson, I think, for her, that it's not just about walking in and thinking you're hot shit. So I think we could potentially, I mean, Ellie says, again, Ellie's pearls of wisdom are just worth their weight in gold. She says something to the effect of like, Tyler's shown a different side to me and she just needs to show it to the guys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really true. I think there's potential for Tyler, but not with Alex.
No, yeah, they're definitely not a match, and we'll see later on.
I think it could be a match, but I don't think Alex will ever be into her.
Which is, yeah, I mean, that's basically just what I'm going on, that I don't think they're a match. That's, I usually, if there are matches, that there's usually some reciprocating feelings, and I don't see it at all with Alex towards him, towards Tyler.
I guess. I could see, I thought that maybe I could see Tyler, Christina, and Alex being a trio, but, I mean, very, very loose grab right there. Right. But no, so a question from Twitter that came in. Brandon Bryce at bman923. That also could be identity. Is that the same Brandon from last time? The
B-man? I think so.
I'm so confused who is going to be Tyler and Ellie's match. They don't have chemistry with anyone. So that led me to want to ask you, who do you think Tyler and Ellie's match could be?
Well, there's a few people that we just haven't seen at all. So like, true. John could be one of their matches. Garland could be one of their matches. They've had no real storyline. Maybe Brandon could be with Ellie. You never know. Because now Brandon's open for business. So those would be three of the people I would think of off the top of my head.
I thought Anthony could possibly be Ellie's match.
I can see that. It's a possibility.
I don't like them together, but I think they could potentially be a match. More so than maybe Anthony with anyone else. Blah.
Yeah, I don't know. Even just going backwards, I don't know who Anthony's match would be. Right? So.
So yeah, we'll be watching that. It is interesting. I'm trying to think of if there was like anyone who like really didn't have anyone last season, like the way that, I mean, we don't know, the other guys may not have connected with anyone either, but we're really focused on Tyler and Ellie not having connections in the house.
Right. Because, I mean, there's no scenario where a guy is left out of picking. So it's not, you know, get that side of it. Because if there were, I'm sure there would be talking about, oh, does Garland have any connection with anyone? So that's why it's more focused on if a girl can develop a connection, really.
All right. So next we get the debut of my favorite character, my favorite guy on the show, which is Drunk Dario.
Dario,
yes.
Okay. Oh, my God. All right, go ahead.
No, I mean, so Dario, they set this scene up with Steve's being creepy as hell again at the party. And that's when he says, "You're my cup of tea. I love the way you look. I like cuddling with you." And she just says, "Yeah." And then we get to a clip of Dario. Dario, who's great, has great confessional etiquette.
He knows how to play to the camera, as opposed to Layton.
Yeah. he says that Shelby's too hot to ignore. And approaches her and like gets her into a closet. I don't even remember where they were, and says, "I could close one eye and see you guys aren't a match." That was amazing, and it worked.
It did. And then he ripped off a sequence of about 12 straight sports analogies that I mean, kudos to him for being able to whip those off while he's like hammer drunk, and everyone pretty much fit to what he was trying to say. But I mean, with the trying it all wrong, it's freaking out, and singles. Yeah. Oh, he's got me doing it now. Oh, my God. It was just one after another. And I thought the puns in the cast raps are bad, but maybe Dario wrote all of them.
I was thinking that with when Shelby says in the beginning, "I was raised by two lesbian women, and that made me strong, but I give everybody too many chances," or something. I was like, maybe she wrote her own bio. Like, two things that have nothing to do with each other, she's slamming together as though they have some cause and effect. But anyway, it was very JC Scally, John Jacobs to me. Mm-hmm. Whereas one of the listeners asked, Andrew Kirk asked on Facebook, "Isn't this Dario Nate Shelby a copycat of the Wes Ryan Kayla triangle?" So where do you fall on that?
I think it's probably closer to the JC triangle, because I don't think anyone's as crazy in that trio is as crazy as Kayla is. Like, I get the guy side of it, that they're kind of like Wes and Ryan, and that they're kind of like sweet, normal guys, other than Dario with when he's drunk. But I mean, I don't think like Shelby's anywhere near a Kayla
yet.
Yet she's not threatening people with knives at their baby shower. So
no, the reason that J.C. Scally and John Jacobs came to my head, and definitely comparisons can be drawn to both of these triangles, is because Dario says, like, when it comes to women, this is what I do. Which, to me, like, what is that exactly? Like, does he pull the robbery a lot? Does he lie to the, like, I don't know what he's doing, that this is what he does when it comes to women. But it just, everything he's saying to the camera seems very Scally, and then going up to her, acting like he's all about her, is very Scally. And then I think Siebes is just being very honest and probably too much, and is probably a little bit out of her league, although he's very cute, which was very John Jacobs. And JC, like Shelby, it was very in the middle. Whereas I think Kayla was the instigator of the triangle going back and forth, where Shelby, I think, is being very clear, like, I want to be realistic and, you know, it's early. I also think Wes was just like, I like you. You're going to rock with me. You're going to rock with somebody else, like something like that. And mm-hmm. Dario is, I think, willing to play games.
Yeah, I can. I kind of agree.
We'll see. Only time will tell.
Yes. And then it was kind of weird. Like, it went to commercial, and then it felt like there was going to be another scene coming, and it just jumped straight to the date. It was a little, like, weird transition.
And I had, like, forgotten about the date after the challenge, and then they got back to this. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty weird.
Yeah, so, like, it felt like a lot happened in between that and the date. But, so, yeah, the date seemed like a pretty cool thing. I liked that it was, like, kind of a mix of kind of like a Survivor-type reward. It's like ziplining through a jungle or whatever. So it seemed like it's a fun thing to do, once-in-a-lifetime thing. So good job for them.
I had never seen the Superman zipline like that, where you're ziplining just, like, on your stomach.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun, so.
One thing, and we'll get into Alex and Jasmine's date. But these necklaces that they have these guys wear, this is, I've been thinking about it all episode, all last episode. I actually tweeted about last episode, and Are You the One Casting got back to me that they're their microphones, which makes a lot of sense because, I mean, on Utopia, for anyone checking that out, they wear just like black plain necklaces that are clearly mics. Mm-hmm. These, they made like these under the sea, like seashell rock.
Under the sea.
the musical styling. No, but I just think these are such an eyesore. They're so hideous. Just wear microphones. It's okay. We're not under the illusion that you're not mic'd and that this isn't filmed and this is all natural.
And I thought they usually have like microphones like on their back or whatever. Isn't that the way they usually do it for these types of shows? That they don't like just put them in plain sight? I thought they try to like hide them. So
you're the one in production.
I just remember in the real world, people always, they would say, like, de-mic me so I can go to bed. And it's always, like, kind of, like, tapped to, like, their back or whatever.
Yeah, well, they know. They usually have those, battery packs that connect, and then the microphone comes up somewhere. I don't know where the girls' ones are. I'm sure they're, like, taped somewhere or whatever. But I think the guys, are when they're shirtless a lot, they wear these necklaces. And it's, I think they think they're camouflaged because they look like horrible, horrible jewelry. But, yeah, that's just my... That's my complaint for today.
So MTV, if you're looking for a microphone stylist, we got one right here for you.
Yeah, it's called a microphone. Just show us the microphone. It's a TV show. The host gives it away. Having Ryan show up gives it away.
The fact that it's on television. So Alex and Jasmine. Oh boy. I mean, it was like painful to watch. Painful. And painful to listen to because I have no idea what the hell happened to Jasmine's voice. But it was gone. Gone.
Too much raging that we didn't get to see.
She was partying. I mean, she maybe just screamed her head off going down that zip line because by the time she was like, she had no voice.
Oh, that's actually probably true.
Maybe.
The less exciting answer.
Yeah, I like the idea that she was partying too much or like doing jokes or whatever.
So we basically have Alex and Jasmine have a conversation where Jasmine's like, I'm going into, is she being a dentist or dental hygienist, whatever it is.
Dental hygienist, I think.
So she's going into the dental field because that's where the money is, and he likes to be free, and he's been on his own since he was 18, which is kind of a normal age to be on your own. But anyway, he likes to work for things and not have structure, and she's about structure, and they basically just kind of awkwardly mutually decide they're not a match. I appreciate, I mean, yeah, it was awful, but I appreciated this moment because I think we got to see, like, a no drama, no nonsense, two people trying it out mutually without hooking up, you know, okay, based on my life philosophy and your life philosophy, like, they didn't pair us, like, handshake, good luck to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alex is really playing this game, I guess you would call it, like, with a really level head, like, in all of his thinking about, like, how to vote for the Truth Booth and then even just, like, trying to find his perfect match. Like, he just seems to really understand himself and understand this game and understand what he's looking for. So I think I'm really high on Alex. I think he's one of the better guys in the house.
A major kudos from Ryan to Alex.
Yeah, it doesn't get much higher praise than that, so enjoy it.
Continuing on the serious note we had from Alex and Jasmine's date, we get a really intimate moment between Brianna and Curtis. Mm-hmm. And I know Brian and I normally don't talk about any of this off air, and we didn't really, but it moved Brian to text me. And so basically Brianna tells Curtis in private that she had a miscarriage. She's supposed to be a mother. And this has affected her in many ways, but it's in dating that she feels like she doesn't want guys to think that she's already used. And she just goes into this, her emotional process in dealing with this. And Curtis, this is what I loved about, I loved a lot of things about this moment. Not that Brianna had to go through this, but, sometimes a girl will say, like, I don't want someone to think I'm X. And the guy just has to say, I don't think you're X. And that's just, like, simply and elegantly what Curtis said. He was like, don't feel judged.
Yeah.
And everything was okay.
And it just goes, like, it continues that I firmly 100% believe that they're a perfect match. And the reason why I texted you while watching it was because I just wanted to reiterate that I felt like such a giant jackass that during our preview that, not just me, I'm taking you down under the bus with me, that we may have taken a jab at Brianna or two, the fact that she was 21 and ready to have kids already, and little did we know that she actually did try to have kids, and we made fun of her for that, so...
Well, no, I mean... Good job by us. No, listen, I mean, that's... All I thought from this was that it shed some light, maybe, on why her timeline is so much different than what I would consider the norm, or why she's in so much more of a rush. And no, I think that's, like, the beauty of having the... preview and then actually watching the show and eating your words and getting more clarity behind the bios. I mean, I didn't expect the bio to say she had a miscarriage, but
that would have been a lot.
No, definitely. We probably wouldn't have been able to talk about that in the preview, but, I think just like in this moment, like hearts all over the country melted. Like it was a beautiful moment between the two of them. And I think what was so significant for me is like, we don't get to see every serious, sincere conversation these couples are having. I mean, largely that would be boring, like this and, Alex and Jasmine talking was serious and interesting, but if we saw this every day, like we wouldn't be watching this. We'd be watching Dr. Phil. But I think just showing that Brianna on what is technically their first date is comfortable enough to open up to Curtis about this. And she's saying it in private. Like we haven't heard her tell all the girls and all the guys and whatever, like she's just telling Curtis. It shows that there's definitely a connection that we haven't seen that to me shows that their connection is real. And right now I think they're the only couple that has a legitimate connection that we have, like that has legitimate evidence to say that they're a perfect match and not just that they have chemistry.
More so they're just like attracted to each other. And, you know, I think there's a decent chance that they are probably going to be thrown into the Truth Booth next week just to like confirm them. And I'm kind of going to be a little upset to see if they leave the show because I've kind of been liking them too, not just together, but just on the show. So I kind of hope that they kind of drag that out a couple weeks because I don't want to have them leave yet.
I know. I was thinking, I don't want them to go in the Truth Booth because I think unlike Paris and Pratt, Curtis and Brianna have like lives outside of each other. We see Brianna with the girls. We see Curtis with the guys. We don't just see them together all the time. Like that's not their only airtime. I don't want to see them leave the show and I definitely don't want to see them not be a match.
Yeah. If they are on a match, I won't be able to like predict anything for the show because I'll have no idea because I mean they're just about as certain as I think that you can be through 2 weeks.
All right, so too much fangirling on both of our parts. One thing about Curtis is in like such a rush with his expectations of how many matches to get and like the strategy, and he was like, we can't keep using these Truth Boosts to find no matches. Like, you've used one Truth Boost.
you got a long, long way to go. And what these people continually don't realize is, like, yes, finding a perfect match like that early on would be great for your numbers and your psyche and stuff like that, but finding a no gives you a lot of information also. These people are just, they want to get, like, six matches and be done in, like, a month. Like, that's not going to happen. You have to, when you get 10 chances, you're going to need 9 or 10 chances to figure this out. And you need to use those first 5 or 6 weeks to just compile so much information that by the time you get to the 8th week, you're just making like 1 or 2 moves to figure it out. So they got to calm down with the expectations.
That's, well, actually, before I get to that, let's just wrap up the Truth Booth part, which is, I mean, obviously, Christina and Brandon get voted in, no match.
Spoiler alert.
What do you think of both of their reactions? Because I think we see Christina crying, but Brandon is adamant about saying, like, this doesn't mean anything. Like, this, I'm not going to not talk to you. I'm not going to start pursuing you. And Christina's kind of like, oh, now we have to move on.
It was so remarkably similar to the exact Truth Booth in the first episode of last year between Chandler and Christy. It was, like, eerie. Like, if I actually went back and rewatched it because I just had to, like, see if it played out exactly as I thought it did. And it did. Like, Chandler was like, you know, I kind of doubted it, but, like, I really thought it was you, but now we just have to move on and find other people. And Chris was like, no, you are my match. I don't care what this says. I'm not taking no for an answer. We're pursuing this. And that is exactly how this played out. Again, it's crazy how it just played out to a T the exact same way.
Speaking of exact same, Brandon was wearing that same stupid t-shirt vest again with a different color. No, but seriously, besides that, Brandon on Twitter is still either keeping up this persona of, you know, the in-game mentality, or is still all about this. And he tweets, get ready for a whole lot of thirsty dudes in the house who couldn't get at MTV Christina when we were still a potential match. He says, I'll tell everyone this much. I am not the type of person that gives up on things. Truth Booth doesn't matter to me. And then he says, and mom's got a lot of love on Twitter this week. He says, my mom just told me the realest shit ever. Not even a tornado would tear you away from your perfect match. Christina is not tweeting anything like this.
You know, if in 6 months and they have like the Brianna Curtis like engagement party and Brandon shows up baked out of his mind saying, you know, I'm just chilling, I'm here chilling. Like, this show has to really rethink how they cast these people. They better not be going down the Christine path again.
Too much. Then we see what I think is the most confusing scene of the night, which is Paris and Pratt's reaction to Brandon and Christina not being a match. Paris, first of all, says that she hated Christina until this and that it just shows she's a woman just like us. That's like, I thought everybody else's reaction to the 11th girl was a little dramatic, but she is a human woman.
I mean, yeah, I think the biggest thing that they took from it was, you know, they were thinking, you know, we're as sure as they were sure, and they're not a match. So let's enjoy this, because if we get in the Truth Booth, we very well may not be a match also, and that's going to be devastating. And I personally don't think they are a match, and I cannot wait for that, because I think, again, Paris will be able to get over it, but I think Pratt, like, going, like, on a rampage. Like, he might, like, just punch the screen if he sees no match with her.
Well, I think that Paris is realizing what you're saying, which is like, we may not be a match. It could happen to anyone. They were following their heart. Pratt is saying he's following his heart and it's worked for him in Paris with zero evidence that it has worked for him in Paris. And they were just shown that going with your heart doesn't work and didn't work for Christina and Brandon. So dark.
It's going to be epic when they're not a match. And I like Paris. I definitely like Paris more than Pratt. Pratt is kind of, he's hit and miss sometimes. He kind of gets like a little tool sense, but
he's the worst.
Okay. Or he's the worst. But like, I like Paris, and I don't want to see this, like, see her get like upset, but I just really kind of hope at this point that they're not a match, because I want that moment.
Here's what confuses me about the whole thing. When somebody, and this happens a lot, like when somebody finds out they're not a match and they're upset, like in this case, we saw that right before we saw them starting to strategize about how to pair up. And the strategy that gets tossed around, someone calls it, I don't know if it's Curtis, but someone calls it, are you not the one? Mm-hmm. Maybe it was John, whatever.
John, I think it was John.
Yeah. So when the same pairs just switch, everyone picks the same pairs, but switches Curtis and Brianna and Paris and Pratt. So that way they know if they don't get any matches, that Curtis and Brianna and Paris and Pratt are a match. This is strategy I can understand. So I thought it was a pretty good idea, and we'll talk about that in a second. But Paris like starts going off about how, like, you know, we shouldn't be doing this right now. Christina's devastating the other room. Doesn't Christina want the money? Like, the strategy setup isn't insensitive to me about Christina and Brandon's situation.
And it's not even like they're even asking Christina to do anything. All they're saying is just basically pick the person you had last time. Like, they're not asking her, Christina, what are your thoughts? All they're saying is, Christina, do this. So I don't understand why you need to be I like Christina, but they didn't need to take her emotions into account at that very moment. Like, I thought it was actually a very good plan.
It was, I mean, that whole thing with Paris and Pratt was bizarre up until finishing off when Christina asks if Pratt is well endowed, and she says no. So there you have it.
There you have it.
So you said you think the strategy is a good idea. We have a couple questions from Facebook about that, and that's your domain. So Anna Jose asks, what's the right strategy for the matchup ceremony? Is it better to switch more or less couples? And then Kristen Narr provided a follow-up, and she says, kind of related to Anna's question, what is the best strategy this early in the game when there are no perfect matches confirmed? Is it too early to work out strategies mathematically?
I think, you know, at the end of the episode, Ryan said, like, you guys are playing too much with strategy and you got to focus more on your heart. And I think they're doing actually the exact opposite. I think they're all playing with their heart and none of them are playing with the strategy. So I don't know where he got that send off, but that's neither here nor there, because I think you're just trying to, all you have to do is just get one at a time. You don't, like we mentioned, don't try to get six matches like in the first shot. That's just not going to happen. So right here, you have a chance to figure out if both one or neither of your top two potential perfect matches are in fact perfect matches. So I 100% was behind John's thinking of everyone pick the same person and then Pratt and Curtis swap. And if you get zero, then, you know, you have those two perfect matches. And if you get, none, then, you know, then you figure it out. So I think that was the way to go.
No, I definitely agree. I mean, I think the truth booths are obviously the most valuable in the beginning to just throw people in. And once you start getting one or two matches in the truth booth, then you can start have a place to work from. And if you can use the matchup ceremony like a truth booth, then you should, because, I mean, even if you got six matches just on your first try, you have no basis to go off of who's the match. Like, exactly. You might as well only get two.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Totally agree.
So, I mean, we have this Ellie Dario moment, which to me wasn't really anything except that we get another amazing Ellie line where Ellie's got the hots for Dario and Dario's saying he's extremely picky, which to me means like he's not into her.
Right.
And then Ellie's searching for the words to describe Dario and says, and asks, needs, what's the name of a painter? And he's like a Picasso.
He's like a Picasso.
Which, not traditionally, you know, aesthetically or anatomically perfect. But
yeah, I was thinking that. Aren't most, like, Picasso paintings kind of, like, abstract? So isn't that saying that he's not that attractive? Or am I way off of my Picasso knowledge?
No, you're right. I'll tweet a side-by-side of Dario and a Picasso painting and let me know what you think.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be very flattering, so.
And then this is what threw me off, is because Dario walks in. Now they're going into the matchup ceremony, and Dario is saying, I'm hoping that we can get more than two beams. And to me, I was like, you idiot. You're hoping for zero beams. Like, are you not aware of the plan? And then they don't do the plan.
Not only did they not do the plan, no, outside of Pratt and Curtis, no one picked the same person. Everything changed. So I don't know how you're supposed to gain anything on that.
I mean, it just made absolutely no sense to me. What makes even less sense to me is, and we got a question on the website. Rob has a website.com/challenge about, or that, is that how you get to the comments? No, that's how you subscribe. That's
just, yeah, subscribe. So it's Rob challenge has, iTunes.
Challenge iTunes. Okay. So I've been tweeting it wrong, but it pulls up on mine when I just do /challenge. Anyway, don't do it. /challenge iTunes. Anyway, if you want to talk to us in the interim between the show and the podcast, or between our two podcasts, you can leave a comment on robhasawebsite.com. And somebody left us a comment. We were talking to them about our speculations of what would happen when the girls have to pick. And unfortunately, we found out what happened when the girls have to pick. And I said something in the comments just by way of like, maybe the last guy has to pick between the two girls or something, but it would annoy me because then the guys continue to have all the control. And it's almost even worse what's actually happening. Do you want to talk about this?
So basically the 10 quote unquote original girls all make their pick. And then Christina, the 11th girl, because she's only here to destroy someone's love, gets to pick who she thinks is someone who she thinks is her match and basically steal him away from a girl. And then to counteract that, the guy has then the choice whether to go with Christina or stick with the person who originally picked them.
What do you think about this?
You know, at first I kind of liked it, but now when you're talking about having the guys continually have all the power, I think I totally agree. I think this is just like, it's a little much. I think the better way to do it is just actually, I don't even know what a better way to do it, but I'm not even sure this is a good way.
I think a better way to do it would be the girls have to determine who sits out or something like that. And then maybe it would add like a strategic element potentially, and potentially create more drama. And if like the girls can't pick, then the guys pick or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what would be better, but this isn't it. This is just like, they've been teetering on just like complete male domination this whole episode, this whole like concept of the 11th girls, and two girls are fighting over one guy and he's their, both of their perfect match. And now it's like, Christina gets to pick a guy who then gets to reject a girl after a girl gets rejected when the guys pick.
Yeah.
Come on, MTV.
Like even just ended at Christina picking the guy. Like, why should the guy then have get to choose? Right? I mean, why,
like, not Christina just end it could at just that? Knock
Christina
out.
Christina just picks Alex and then that's it. And then Ellie just is not in the matchup ceremony. Why should then the guy get the double wrapped around to get the pick again?
Send it to MTV.
I
think that's a great idea.
I don't listen to any of my suggestions for the challenge. So I co-sign that.
No, I also, I mean, well, let's get to, I guess we'll get to who everyone picks. So Jess is up first in a clearly stacked deck for drama. And this really pissed me off. She lays a burn on Anthony, which was like, well, like it was such a Britney type burn. And it was like, Anthony's a cool ass kid, but he's still a kid. He's just a kid or something like that. And then Anthony's like, I could have her wrapped around my finger if I wanted to. And the crowd goes wild. The house loves it. And it's just like, Anthony keeps revealing himself to be a complete asshole. And he's Teflon. It doesn't matter. They love it.
Yeah, I mean, they're ready to cheer anything that happens at a matchup, Sonya. You can say anything. You can kiss someone. They're like a group of like first graders. If you just say something really loud and profoundly, they'll cheer. Like, that's what the matchup ceremony is. They're ready to cheer anything you do at a matchup ceremony.
I guess that's true. I'll just be really, really upset if this never someone doesn't blow up on Anthony and soon.
I think it's probably coming. I think it's got to be coming.
The weatherman says a storm's brewing.
It's cloudy with a chance of rain.
All right. So then Shelby picks Drario. What do you think of that?
I mean, for me, this is one of the funnier parts, just because I like people who get when they get crushed and destroyed. But of course, we get a cut of Nate saying, you know, the thing I love about Shelby is, you know, she makes me feel safe. You know, every other girl has always walked out of me. They've always chosen some other guy, but with her, I feel safe. 3, 2, 1, I picked Daria. It's so perfect. Ugh. I'm such an awful person.
No, I mean, I just think this was a stupid move for Shelby, only because she says that she likes Nate the most as of now.
But does she?
I don't know if she does. I don't know if she does. I think you have a point about her motivation to kind of keep them both on the hook and, you know, play both sides right now. But if she does actually feel a connection with Nate, maybe we're not seeing her reciprocation from the editing, whatever. If we're taking what she says at face value and that she likes Nate a lot, but she's just not sure, is the matchup ceremony the time to manage expectations? Like, is it the time to teach Nate a lesson to back off by picking Dario in front of him, over him, without saying anything to him prior?
Yeah, that's also what I was thinking about. Like, I wonder how much of that they actually talk about beforehand. You know, there shouldn't be blind sides at the matchup showing. But like, again, you're all working together as a team, so shouldn't everyone know who everyone's picking so that they don't pick the person you want to pick? Like, that's where it always kind of gets dicey, that there shouldn't be this, like, surprise.
Well, it's not even picking someone you want to pick, because, I mean, they're not all working together in the sense that, like, some of them are competing for the same guys. Like, they're, like, the same guys, like, Jess and Jenny. Jenny and Jess are not going to corroborate on this and let one of them pick the other unless it's purely strategic and the whole house is on board. And even then, I'm not sure Jess may have gone rogue. But with Shelby, like, if you're actually interested, like, this may have been a total brush off move, because if you're actually interested in Nate and interested in Dario, you might say something to Nate to make it so that he's not so shocked and hurt. And then Dario saunters up like Scally and just kisses her in front of everyone. It's totally not romantic. It's not what Brandon did with Christina. It's just like forced and awkward, and Shelby loves it and is like, that happened. That just happened.
She likes the attention. She wants the spotlight's on her. She's loving it.
I think Dario's only about the chase. She's a beautiful girl who had a guy pining for her, and he saw that he could swoop in. I think he likes that.
Fair. It's a possibility. We'll have to see how that. So I'm holding judgment on those two. So we'll have to see how the next couple episodes play out.
Be reactionary.
I'm reactionary with everyone else. I'm trying to be oh my God, I'm an idiot. What's the opposite of reactionary? I can't think. I'm tired.
No, well, you're thinking of like proactive.
Yeah.
But
isn't that proactive? That's also reactionary, right? I don't know. I'm being studious. No. Studious, tedious? I don't know.
Well,
I'm taking my time. Please move on to the next match.
Yeah, so Paris picks Brett Jan. Jasmine picks someone who I didn't know was on the show, Baby Boy G.
I didn't know the actual person Garland was on the show, because I think he's only spoken like twice, which was to like analyze the challenge and say that we have to get 10 matches to win $1 million. So
I thought this was another 90s jewelry reference to the Baby G watches.
Maybe so.
We got Ashley picks Moosty, Guise picks Brandon, and this is an interesting moment.
Oh my God, Brandon really knows how to like milk a big moment. Like that was unbelievable. I don't think everyone was going to get up. I think he was just going to like, he was taking a stand while sitting.
So yeah, break down, say what he does.
So
lay it on us, your favorite guy.
So Guise calls, says, I think my perfect match is Brandon.
Were you going to say calls Brandon to the stand? Calls Brandon to the
stand. And Brandon doesn't even flinch. Like, it's like he changed his name. He is no longer Brandon at that very moment. He has no idea who this Brandon person is. He is not moving. And until Ryan actually says, Brandon, you've been summoned. You have to come put your hand on this bed. And I bet it probably took a couple of times of Ryan telling him to get up. It's for Brandon to finally get up and resign himself to the fact that Guise picked him.
My favorite moment from this comes when, and I watched it a second time just to see if this actually happened or if I just saw what I wanted to see. Alexandra is on the sidelines and she starts cheering, come on, Brandon, you got this.
Yes, I saw that too. Like, you got this. You got what? You're walking to a platform and putting your hand down to make it get scanned. You're not trying to run a marathon.
I think she's competing with Lauren Ashley for future cheerleading coach positions. You got this.
She's like one of the, she's like a 20.
I just thought that was amazing. And then Brandon uses this time for Guise, but also whatever, to make it clear that he's going to pursue Christina. And then you get sort of a mixed reaction from the house. And by mixed, I mean everyone's saying no, and Jess is saying, let them do it.
Yeah, I can't believe actually Jess was on their side, because no one, I don't think, was on Shanley and Chrissy's side about letting them pursue it. And Jess was like, nah, like, screw them. Do whatever you want.
Well, maybe, I mean, maybe I'm giving Jess too much credit, but it's possible that after seeing season one and that two people cannot, you know, can date each other, but play nice with the house and do the challenges and go into the truth booth with other people and figure out their match and still win. Maybe their guard is let down a little bit, but Haley Strong from Facebook asked, and I'm going to read exactly how she wrote it because it's fabulous. Why can't Brandon and Christina be together and find their perfect matches? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. Why is everyone else player hating? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark.
You know, I mean, theoretically, they could just, they can be with each other, but have to carve out some time to find their other matches. But I think the reason people don't want them together is because maybe someone thinks that Brandon could be their match, or someone thinks that Christina could be their match. And if they're not willing to give them a chance, and they don't, then they're not going to get love. So I think that's probably the biggest reason that they want them to move on.
You know, it really did suck for Paige last season when, like, she was open to Christy, and Christy wasn't open to her, at least on the show. And that was it for her, and there's nothing you can do about it. So, no, I understand. But I do think that it's, like, a bit of an overreaction to say, like, you're with us or against us kind of thing. I think it can easily be done if, say, one couple still wants to hook up and try to help the house strategically. If anything, there may be two more strategic minds who their emotions are taken out of it. But if more than one couple wants to do this, then it starts getting messy.
What are the final matches?
So we have Ellie, who carries her shoes to the thing, which is amazing to me because, like, how long could you have actually been in the shoes? But I love it. She picks Alex, which is someone who picked the same as last time. But I don't really know where that's coming from. But then Alexandra picks Anthony, which is boring. Jenny picks Nate because, so sad for Nate, she wanted to leave Brianna with Curtis, so she picked Nate by default.
Poor Nate. Although, last season that weren't, I think Ethan and Amber were together by default. I remember one of the perfect matches were together by default.
Felicia and Dylan were together by default
in the first matchup. So maybe Jenny and Nate.
And it was something like that where I think Calicia was, like, kind of open to it, and Dylan was like, this is default.
Yeah, and then they ended up being a match, so you never know. You never know where love might strike.
Yes, then Brianna picks Curtis, thanks to Jenny allowing that. And then Christina, she picks Alex, who then picks her back, and Ellie is left on the sidelines, available for you. But I don't think Christina should have picked anyone.
You think she should have sat out?
I think,
is that an option?
Why not?
I guess so. But what's the upside for her?
My thought is that she kind of makes, I don't know, it's kind of would just be like good vibes for the house. The first pick is that she's been through a lot with Brandon. She's not really seeking someone as her match potentially right now in this moment. She is Paris is maybe the reason why they decided not to be strategic, because Paris and her blew up. I'm not sure. I just think that there's like a negative energy with the 11th girl, and there's no necessarily any advantage to her picking someone except to show interest in someone else potentially, but I don't think she'd have a problem doing that in the coming weeks. And it would just be maybe a nice thing for the girls, but maybe she's not allowed to do that. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, she probably, if she really wanted to just not pick anyone, she basically could have just picked like Curtis or whatever. And then obviously Curtis would have stuck with Brave. So that's really the only way she probably was allowed to abstain.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, so then the same number, two matches once again. So if we're pretty certain that it's Bree and Curtis, so who do you think could potentially be the other match? Well, if we're ruling out Pratt and Paris, because I don't think they are a match. But, I mean, it's possible. I mean, it could be.
Andrew Kirk asks us on Facebook. He says, I feel like we have three perfect matches from the first ceremonies. Brianna, Curtis, Leighton, Jess, or Jenny, and Shelby with Nate or Dario. Any other possible matches? So he's already ruled out Pratt and Paris. And I think we did too, to a certain extent, our last podcast. And I thought to myself, like, oh, this is so obvious. I know so many of them. And I went to start writing it down, and I wrote like three names.
Just three names that you think are possible matches?
Yeah, no, I wrote down all the guys and I started like writing who I think. And you know what? I'm more I'm more stuck than I thought I was.
Because it's, you know what it is? They've spent just like a lot of time focused on like a few of the couples and a lot of the time on Brandon and Christina, and we know that they're not a match. So we obviously have no idea who they might be with. And then we have a couple of triangles with Shelby and Leighton in the middle of those two. So we're kind of just, and then a lot of people who we haven't seen at all, really. So we're still lacking a lot of information to be able to like point to a lot of the matches, and it helps that there's only two, so we really don't know, and we're kind of on the same page as the house.
Would we see a triangle that wouldn't result in one of the two people being a match for the other one?
You know, both triangles last season resulted in matches. So, right, it was just the JC triangle and the Kayla triangle. Was there anyone else?
Not a straight triangle. I mean, whoever Adam was pursuing, there was Brittany on the side, but...
Yeah, that, you know. Yeah, so it was really just those two. So I think it's possible that maybe one of them isn't a match in that triangle, but I'm gonna say it's very little chance that there's no match in both those triangles.
Well, it's so hard because how would production, like, I don't think it's the editing just showing these triangles and that all three of them are actually also hooking up with other people and having other options, and they're only showing us these three because one of them is the match. But like, how, you know what I mean? Like, how,
yeah, no, I understand.
How is that,
you know, it kind of worked out last season that the two triangles were matches because, you know, and if both of these aren't matches, I think it increases the odds dramatically that they're actually not going to get the match. Because if they're thinking like, all right, so he's with one and she's with another and they're wrong on all accounts, all of a sudden they're really back to square one with maybe only one perfect match that they're certain and another one that is way up in the air. So if both those triangles are duds, the odds go way up that they might not actually get the million.
I'm stressed out now.
So let me follow. Are you rooting for them to get it?
I want them to get it. I don't think it would be a satisfying end if they didn't get it.
I'm rooting for them not to get it.
Well,
because I'm a downer and I want to see what happens if they don't get it. I want to see that awkwardness.
I'm a champion for love.
And I just want to see that one person cheering when everyone else is so upset, and then they all get really mad at the one person cheering, even though it's not at all her fault.
See, I think that's kind of garbage. I think that if if they figure out all 10 matches and rule out the other 11th girl, that they all should get money, that the 11th girl should also get $50,000.
Oh, you think so they are perfect, the 11th girl should still get money?
I think, I mean, I know that she doesn't, but I definitely think she should, because I think it's garbage.
That's why you're not running the show and you're just talking about it.
Yeah. No. All right. So do we want to go into the aftermatch or some Twitter drama?
Well, the Twitter drama actually kind of, at least one of it stems from the aftermatch. So I took the aftermatch duties this week because...
Perfect, because I don't want to end on the aftermatch.
Yeah, so because two of my favorites were on Chanley, who is still my number one favorite on any of these shows, and Christina. But the actual show was the lowest moment of my television watching experience. It was so unbearably awful. Just awful on all accounts. The only redeeming part of it came at the very end when, of course, it came from a Twitter question because the questions from Twitter are almost much better than from the host. And Christina and Chanley were asked straight up, which girl do you hope does not get love and money? Which I thought was a great question. And Chanley said, you know what? Tyler. I don't like Tyler. I hope she doesn't get it. And Christina said Alexandria.
Which I can't wait to see why she said that. I was watching it, so happy Brian was covering it this week because I, like, honestly wouldn't have even pulled that information out as interesting because it just blended into the mush that the show was, and all I was doing was hate tweeting it. So,
and honestly, it probably wasn't that interesting, but in the pile of crap that was the other 28 minutes, this was like finding a pot of gold. So I took it and ran with it.
No, you saying it now is very interesting to me. Them saying it on the show is just like,
because I was just more surprised that they actually each said a name. Normally with like the person would say, oh, you know, I don't know these people that well. I kind of hope they all get it or whatever. But, and this is why I love Shanley and she's the best person on the show. Cause she's like, you know what? I don't give a crap. Tyler, I don't like her. And then Christina followed suit, giving a name. I don't know if Christina would have given a name if Shanley didn't. I think it kind of like peer pressure led to her giving her name. But either way, I thought it was kind of interesting. And then the other interesting part, a little interesting, Shanley was asked about what she thought about Paige from last season. And she basically just said she was irrelevant. And that sparked a little Twitter drama between those two last night.
One quick thing before we get into the drams is that Jeff Schwartz at Jeffery312 let us know last week that the roommate from the after show is actually was actually a featured player on SNL last year. He was in about 3 sketches. John Milhauser is his name. Am I saying that right?
I watch SNL. I don't really remember him from it. But then again, the sketches on SNL have been pretty god awful the last couple years. So
I don't watch SNL, but all I'm saying is, like, this is the biggest demotion that anyone has ever gotten in the history of the world.
And honestly, the more this show goes on, it's, like, more of an insult to me, I think. Because if I cannot host this, then, I mean, MTV, I'm begging you. I'll be able to do a better job on my couch in freaking athletic shorts. Just, my God, this is so awful. Please, if you're going to do this, just at least do it mildly right.
Okay, how many people want Brian to tweet his athletic shorts? What are athletic shorts? Like gym shorts?
Yeah.
Athletic shorts?
Yeah, you know what, you ever hear it called that?
I never want to hear it called that again.
All right, well, that's going to be our hashtag for this episode, so be prepared.
Okay, the other thing about the after match that frustrated me, and I was hate tweeting, but not at any of their legitimate hashtags. So people picked up my hate tweets anyway, but I'm too afraid to actually insult the beast that is MTV, the after match. But I thought, at least in the preview, like in the commercial they had in between the actual show, they said, like, tweet us at AYTO after match. And I was like, oh my God, they got their own hashtag. Brilliant. Like, so much better than the Are You the One, which is the standard hashtag for the entire show. And then halfway through the show, they said, tweet us at Are You the One. And then they said, tweet us at AYTO Meemoff. And they had 3 hashtags running for a half hour piece of garbage show. Like, I can't. I can't.
We've given this way too much airtime than it deserves. So what other Twitter drama do you have before we close out this now almost hour and a half rendition of Rabbit's podcast?
Oh, are you not going to share the Twitter drama about Paige and...
Well, basically, Paige just called out Shanley for calling her irrelevant, and Shanley says, oh, some people can't take a joke or whatever, move on with your life. That was basically all that it was.
All right.
It wasn't anything that special.
No, so we had Brandon's, and this isn't even necessarily drama, just some things that I pulled that I thought were funny. So Brandon's 3, like, you can't stop me, don't stop me now tweets. Tyler tweeted also about his mom. He tweeted, how my mom feels about me hooking up on TV. And he had a screen cap of a text message from his mom, and he said, are you okay? And she said, hold on, I have to put the noose away. And then...
That's very funny.
There was some drama between Alex Phillips, the guy, not Alexandra, and Brandon. I'm going to share the one tweet, which is ziplining 100 stories about the rainforest was intense and one of the best times of my life. I had a great group, minus at Tyndall 10 at Are You the One? And we're starting to see maybe some things unravel between the cast members that appear to be such besties.
We mentioned this, that these people are just like, they're all seem like so happy-go-lucky that they're all together. Let's start some feuds. Let's go. I like it.
Yeah, he tweeted another tweet that anyone can check out if they want. I'm not sure if it's spoilery, if it's a joke. I don't, you know, I'm assuming it's just BS, but I'm not going to read it just in case anybody will get mad at me. But just for the record, I am also unspoiled. I don't brag about it as much. No, I'm just kidding. I do my best. Brian is definitely more vigilant than I am, but also please let's save the spoiler talk until the week that it airs.
Yes, please. And I know we mentioned last week that the official hashtag for the wrap-up is AYTO.
I think we're being outnumbered because basically every tweet the cast makes, whether it's about the show or not, includes hashtag Are You the One. So should we switch over to Are You the One or stay strong with AYTO?
Absolutely not. You did not clear this with me first.
That's why I'm asking you. I'm not making a general statement.
Oh my God. This is so spontaneous. No.
Yes, I know.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't preview any. This is all on the fly.
I mean, we talked to Ellie about this. Like, Are You the One is too many characters. It's not happening. I try to put it in. If I have the room, I'll put it in. I'll try to also do at R, the letter U, the number one, which is their handle. But the best way, I think, to follow our tweets is to follow us.
Yes, and you can follow... Oh, wow, look at you transitioning into a plug. Oh my God, I've converted you over to the dark
side. Times have changed.
You can follow me at Bus Drivers Are Out.
And you can follow me at Lash Tweets and figure out our hashtags. We'll either be AYTO if we have a lot to say, or Are You the One if we have nothing to say and just want to tweet at you.
And if you made it to the end of this podcast, tweet us hashtag athletic shorts, and we will be very happy that you made it this far.
I think we're hypocrites because that's a lot of characters.
That's a lot of characters.
we'll go through. I mean, people don't really use the hashtag, so prove me wrong and put the characters in and athletic shorts.
And then subscribe, maybe if you want, at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And if you're feeling extra frisky, you can go on iTunes and rate and comment on our little page there.
And if you're not feeling frisky, you can still do that.
Yes, that's it. That's very true. Whatever mood you're in, but you know, unless you're in a bad mood, don't give us bad ratings. You have to be at least a moderate to good mood to go on the iTunes page. So that's what we're setting as a standard. So I think we're good. Have we wrapped up episode 2?
I think that'll do it for this week.
All right, we'll see you guys next week, episode 3. Have a good one.